I find so many people today that go to church, they go to church most of their life, seems like, and they really never know what they believe. And folks, I think that's a shame. I think we need to know doctrine. You see? I think we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And if I don't teach you anything else, I pray that you will, if you ever leave this church and go somewhere else, you will check and make sure the doctrine that they teach is what our Lord and Savior taught, that it's found in the Word of God. Now, over and over, I've been asked or told this question. You know, people tell me once, people always say, well, the first time I got saved was back years ago, and then I got saved again, and then now I'm getting saved again. I hate to tell you, but you can't get saved but one time. If you missed it the first time, I don't know. But you know what? That surprises me. Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't agree with Baptist or in the doctrine of the security of the believer. But folks, if you will study the Word of God, and if you look at the Word of God, and we serve a great God, don't we? I know when He saved me, He saved me once and for all. Now, I've not always lived like I should have, but I know that God saved me. And I want us to talk about that, because some people say, well, I knew a fellow that was lost or was saved, and now he's lost. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, I don't know why I turned to that passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, these words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doth the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, listen to this, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wondrous works in your name? And I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, I thank you right now for this message. And God, I realize that if your Holy Spirit doesn't work a work of grace this morning in our lives, that many will not understand it. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts and convict our hearts that we need to understand what we believe and why we believe it. And God, I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to thank you in advance that the ones here this morning will see clearly why we cannot lose our salvation. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want to give you some reasons why we cannot lose our salvation. Now, I want you to get your Bibles out. I want you to look in your Bibles. And I want you to go along with me on these passages of Scripture. Because, you know, if you don't, then you won't know where it's found. I'm going to give you seven passages of Scripture that I looked up this week. Why we cannot lose our salvation. Now, many appear to be saved. Many appear to be saved, but they never were. That's what happened in Matthew chapter 7. On the outside, they were religious. They looked like they were saved. They may have looked like you and I. But when they come to Jesus and said, Lord, hadn't we done this and hadn't we done that? He said, I don't know you. You see, they appeared. Now, they didn't lose their salvation, folks. They never had it. They never had their salvation. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, he said, I know my sheep. They hear my voice, and I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. You hear that? I know my sheep, he says. They hear my voice. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, there's a difference between those who know and those who never knew. You see, those who never knew didn't lose their salvation. They may have been religious, but they were never saved. But those who know, he says, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I hope this morning that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, then you need to. He says, those who have a personal relationship with me, I know they hear me. You see, that's a personal relationship there. They can never, ever be lost. See, now someone says, I knew a person, and that always comes up. They were never saved. You see? You knew somebody that probably thought they were saved, but they were lost, the Bible says. A person truly, truly saved can never be lost. There's an old passage, somebody says that a faith that fizzles at the finish had a flaw from the first. If you've got a faith in Christ Jesus, it will not fail you. If you have a personal relationship with the living Lord, it will not fail you in the end. Now, here's the scripture I want us to look at. Romans chapter 8, the first reason I'm going to give you that you can't lose your salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Look at that passage of scripture. The writer says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing can be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you can tell me something that's left out of that, I'll give you $50, folks. And I don't have it to give away, but if you can tell me something left out of that, I think he covers it all when he says neither death nor life. I've covered the whole realm. I've covered every base right there. Already, anything that happens to you is covered by life or death. He says, nor angels, now that's good or bad angels, nor principalities, that's the kingdoms of the world, nor power, that's authorities, anybody in authority, nor things present, anything present. Oh, that takes care of most everything, doesn't it? Nor things to come. Anything created. Everything is covered in that passage of Scripture. And he says, listen, nothing can separate you from the love of God. If there was no other passage of Scripture in the Word of God except this one, I would be secure in Christ Jesus. My friend, I'm secure because the Bible, God's holy Word, says, I'm secure. Nothing can separate me from God. I am His, folks. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you don't have to fret. You're going to be saved. You're secure. A lot of people don't live for God because they're so emotionally insecure in their life. They're afraid, oh, you know, if I do this, I'm going to lose my salvation. Well, you're not going to lose your salvation. The second reason is found in 10, verse 14. In Hebrews, look over in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 14. Look at that. If I can find it. I know my Bible's got it in it. You know, I was looking at my Bible the other day, one of my Bibles, and I realized part of it was missing. It really was. And that Bible's no good. Part of it's gone. They left out a section of Scripture out of my Bible. I got to looking at that thing. I said, these pages don't even match up. No wonder I got it at a discount. Look at 10:14. That's true. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. For by one offering. Did you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Back in the Old Testament, the people would bring their sacrifices to the priest. The priest would offer them up. They did that year after year after year. They made those sacrifices. They kept bringing those lambs to be slain for the slaughter. When Jesus Christ come, the Bible says he died once and for all. He died on the cross one time. And one time he perfected the sacrifice for our salvation. And he saves us forever. Now, if you could be lost, if you could lose your salvation, you know what would happen? Jesus Christ would have to come back and die on the cross again. He says, no, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being saved. Folks, he died once. He has perfected forever. He's sanctified. He saved us forever. And you cannot find in the Bible anyone who's been saved twice. If you do, I'll give you $100. Price is going up. Brother Bill's going to take care of it for me. But I don't have to worry. You don't either, Brother Bill, because nobody was ever saved twice. It just can't be. You're saved once and for all, you see. Now, those two passages of scriptures are great passages of scriptures. One, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing up above, down below, anywhere in between death or life, it cannot separate us from God's love. If you have a personal relationship, you partake of the divine nature of God in your life, then you are saved because Christ died once and for all. He was that perfect sacrifice. He was God's own son. And he said, I sent my own son to die for you on the cross that you might have everlasting life. And if you, by faith, trust him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry. You're saved once and for all. Now turn back to Romans. Man, we do some Bible drills here. Back to Romans. Same passage of Scripture, 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know what? God looked down through his telescope of omniscience and saw Byron Jones one day, long before the world was created, long before time. God looked down through the scope and he saw me, and he saw me down in that little old town of Recklaw, Texas, and he saw me down there, and he says, you know, that boy doesn't look like much. He doesn't have much of a chance. But God saw me through time. And he saw me in 1975 getting on my knees before him and saying, Lord, I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want your forgiveness. I realize I'm lost. I realize I'm a sinner. And he saw me repenting of my sin. That means he saw me turning my life towards him and walking away from sin. And he sees me clean. He sees me healed of my sin. And he not only knows my name, but he predestined me. That simply means to be conformed in his image. Predestinated means it's already settled in heaven. Do you know that? I am being conformed to his image. Isn't that wonderful? And folks, let me tell you something. God looked down before time and he saw, you can put your name in there. He saw you, and he saw you when you came to repent and turn to him, and he saved you. He predestined you to be conformed. That's what passage of scripture says. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Folks, we're going to be like Jesus one day. Isn't that wonderful to know that that's God, that's His love for us? Now, I don't understand all there is to know about predestination. I'll be willing to admit that. I don't imagine anybody knows. But you know what? I don't understand a lot of things, but I believe it. I put my faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't understand why He chose me to be the pastor of this church. I don't understand why He put me and Brother Teddy together. I don't understand Brother Dan at all. But I know one thing. Betty, God bless you, girl. He loves Brother Dan too. You see? And he loves us. And He saw us through time. And He has conformed us to be in His image. And folks, that's what we have to put our faith in, God. You don't have to understand things. Just understand what He loves you. That you're a sinner. That He wants you to come to Him. That He wants to give you eternal life. That's what we need to understand. God so loved me, you see, that He was willing for me to come to Him. And He says, not only Byron Jones, but whosoever will may come. There's not a one of you in here this morning that God doesn't want to be saved. He wants you to come to Him. Now, whether or not you do, that's your choice. But I know He wants you. He wanted you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. So when'd you come to Him this morning? Well, if you will, He'll give you eternal life. And you'll never be lost again. You'll always have Jesus Christ in your life. Turn with me to Philippians 1:6. Man, I love this passage of Scripture. Philippians 1:6. Being confident, this is the fourth reason now. You can't lose your salvation. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, did you hear that? He who has begun a good work. Who is that He? It's God the Holy Spirit. You see, He convicted me of sin that day. He convicted me that I was lost. He showed me that I needed salvation. It was God. It wasn't me. It was God working in me. And He says, being confident of this very thing, that God the Holy Spirit convicted me, He also will complete it. You see what? The Holy Spirit is the convictor, and the Holy Spirit is the converter. And not only the Holy Spirit is the convictor and converter, the Holy Spirit is the completer. You see, He's going to complete His work in you. If you're saved, He's going to conform you to His way. Now, He who begun a good work will complete it. There is no possible way that God will not finish His work. He will do everything that He has promised in the Word of God. You can rest on it. You can take it to the bank. It's true. It's the Word of God. There's no possible way. I love that old song. He cannot fail. He must prevail. You see, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I don't know what you rest on this morning, but folks, I rest on the Word of God. I know that the Word of God is true. I know that Jesus started to work in me. Whew, He had His hand full, I guarantee you. But man, He's making me more like Jesus every day. And the older I get, the more I just enjoy Jesus. I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy going to church. I enjoy being with Christian people. I just like to hear the Word of God. I love the songs that we sing. I love the song. It don't matter what song sung about Jesus. I love it. You see? Whether it's the old hymns, I love the old hymn. Whether it's the modern day stuff, I love it. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. So, He's begun a good work in me, and He'll complete that work. That's the fourth reason there. Now look at number 5. 2 Corinthians. Turn in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians. I'm not going too fast for you, I hope. But I got to get through sometime today. 2 Corinthians. That's right after the first ones, I know. 5:17. Look at that passage of Scripture. And I want you to look at this passage of Scripture real close. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If anyone be what? In Christ. Did you know what? I am part of the body of Christ. If I perish, guess what? Part of Christ will also perish. Now you think about that. I am in Christ. Matter of fact, I'm in the family. 1 John 3:2 says, now we are the sons of God. Man, I'm in the book. The Bible says my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation. I'm in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. I'm in the flock. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm in his hand. No man shall pluck me out of the Father's hand. I'm in his way. Man, I'm in his army. I was chosen to be a soldier of Christ. I'm in the race. I'm like in Hebrews, it says, let us run the race. Man, not only that, I'm in the building. I'm part of the building of Christ. I'm one of those living stones. I'm in the way, the Bible says. He guides my feet along the path. I'm in the choir because he put a new song in my heart. Man, amen. I'm in the light because he's called me into that marvelous light. And I'm in Christ. Folks, the Bible says we are in him. You remember old Noah? Noah built an ark. Now, if Noah went down into the ark, and the ark went down, they would all drown, wouldn't they? But the ark is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Noah went into the ark, the Bible says God shut the door. Now, when God shut the door, he shut the water out, but not so much shutting the water out, he shut Noah in. And friends, Noah may have fallen down, but he would never fall out because God shut the door. Now the Bible says we are in Christ. We are safe in Christ. Nothing can separate us because God seals us with his Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if I think I can only get to heaven, I'll be secure. I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, I am striving to get to heaven. If I can just get to heaven, I'll be secure. Don't count on that. Let me tell you, I know some angels that was in heaven, and God kicked them out. Oh, well, I never thought of that. You better listen closely. The angels fell out of heaven. You're not secure because of a place. You're secure because of a person. And it's the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus here, and if you're not secure here, you're not going to be secure in heaven, folks. You must make it to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ this morning? Are you secure this morning? If you're in the body, you are safe and secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No one's going to be able to pluck you out of your hand. You're safe and secure because you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, in the Bible, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Man, I'm glad I'm short-winded this morning. John chapter 5, verse 24. I just love looking at the Bible. He says, look at this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed where? From death to life. Now, he who hears my word and believes in him, in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you believed on Jesus this morning? Have you put your faith in Jesus? I didn't put my faith in the preacher at Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk when I was saved. I put my faith in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you believed in Jesus this morning? Have you given your heart to Him? Have you heard His Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you trusted Jesus Christ, the one who sent His Son to die on the cross? Have you trusted Him for your life? The Bible says, he who hears my word and believes in Jesus, who sent Him, what has everlasting life. Now, I want you to know something here. You need to understand, everlasting life is not something that you get when you die. What do you mean, preacher? That's what the Bible says. He who believes in Jesus has everlasting life. Now, how long is everlasting? Suppose I died and went to heaven for 100 years, and then I lost it. Is that everlasting? That's just 100 years. Suppose I went to heaven and I stayed there 1,000 years, and then I lost it. That's not everlasting, is it? Everlasting life is not something that you get just when you get to heaven. Everlasting life is something you get when you're saved. You see? Right now, I have everlasting life. I'm not worried about death because I'm not going to die. The Bible says I've got everlasting life right now. Oh, I'll close this old body. I'll close my eyes, but I'll just sleep because I'm going to wake up in Jesus. I really believe that, folks. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're not going to die. He said, I gave you everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but we pass from death into life. Isn't that great to know? You cannot lose your salvation. You're always going to live. We cannot lose our salvation because Jesus Christ also is interceding for us. Look at John 17, verse 9. Man, when I got to looking up these passages of Scripture, I just kind of had a happy spell. It was so good knowing that. But you know what? You need to believe this, or you need to look at it, and you need to understand what you believe, because, you know, I hear so many people are always afraid they're going to lose their salvation. But you can't. There's no way you're going to lose it. In John 17, verse 9, look what it says. I pray for them. I do not pray that for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is praying for his disciples. And he says, listen, I pray for them, not the world, but for them that you have given me. He's praying for the ones that the Father has given him. What is he praying for? Not for them to be taken out of the world. No. You know, we got to live in the world, don't we? But that we should be kept from the evil one. Now, folks, oh, I know what some of you are thinking. I've had this old question. That's okay, preacher, but he's praying for his disciples, not us. That was a long time ago when he prayed that. No, if you'll look on down to verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will what? Believe in me through their word. Folks, that's included. You can write your name in there. Because I believed in 1975, May the 5th, 1975, I believed in Jesus. And he was praying for me. He's still praying for me that I'll be kept from the evil one. Not that I won't be taken out of this world, but I'll be kept from the evil one. And when we look, he's praying for us. And folks, did Jesus ever pray a prayer that wasn't answered? No. He didn't. Not a single one wasn't answered. Because he was always praying in the Father's will. And folks, he ever lives to make intercession for me and you and you and you. Because he loves us. Now, I've given you 7 biblical reasons right out of the Word of God. There's a lot more. You can find a whole lot more if you start looking. But here's 7 reasons why that he's going to finish. He's going to complete his work. You cannot lose your salvation. Man, well, I know what some of you are saying. I hear it over and over again. If you teach that kind of doctrine, preacher, we can go out and live the way you want to. And that's dangerous. Well, I want to tell you something. I believe in once saved, always saved. I believe we're secure. And I want to walk just as close to Jesus as I can. Because I'm saved. I serve God not because I have to. I serve God out of gratitude for love for him. I don't serve God thinking that he's going to zap me one day and fear him. No. If you serve God out of fear, that if you do something wrong or sin, let me tell you something, you'll get all frustrated. You'll get all down in the dumps. I was telling my wife, we sat out on the back porch this morning before daylight. We sat out there and drank coffee and talk a little bit. We don't see each other very much, you know. I've worked with her for 27 years here in the same office, and we just talk all the time. But, you know, when I was a child, I was telling her, we had these nice hardwood floors. And I was a mischievous little fella. And I took these box matches, you know, and I stuck them up like a tower. I saw those oil derricks up there in Kilgore when I was a kid, and they said they blew up and flamed up. And that's what I was making, I think, an oil derrick. And I got me a match, and I lit the bottom of that thing. Woo! Just about time Daddy walked in. What in the world are you doing, son? Done burnt the floor. That's a mistake. I didn't get time out. I got wore out. Oh, that hurt. You know, when Daddy whoops you, you stayed whooped there. But you know what? I was still his child when it was all over. He didn't kick me out. Why? Because he loved me. He loved me so much. But he was willing to correct me. And he corrected me because he loved me. Oh, I never did that again. Let me tell you something, parents. When that child talks back at you and you wear them out a couple of times, they won't be doing that no longer. I didn't say abuse them. I just said sometimes we don't correct them like we need to. But you do what you want to. But you know what? I knew that when I got into high school, that Daddy loved me. And he would always love me. No matter what I did. And we got into a lot of trouble. And I got a whipping just about every week. Even when I was in high school, I wasn't too big. I saw Daddy whip my brother. My brother was a big old 6-foot boy, weighed over 200-something pounds, so was Daddy. And Kent back talked to him one time, and over the front of the car he went. He looked at me, and I said, I don't want none of that. I knew better to talk back at Daddy. But you know what? Me and Kent both loved him to death. We stood by him because he loved us so much that he wanted us to become men with integrity. And he knew we couldn't get that if he didn't make us mind. You see? Some kids are easier to train than others. I understand that. God understands that. You may sin, but you won't lose your salvation. The Bible says if we sin, we'll lose our fellowship. We'll lose the joy of serving God. You see, I lost the joy that day in that family. But I didn't lose my sonship. God says, when I punish you, it's for your own good. And let me tell you something. If you sin, you will get punished. If you're a child, he says, I'll discipline you. Now, those who say, you know, if you're secure and you sin all you want to, I don't think I would be secure in that. You see, you're looking at a man here that sins all he wants to. I'm telling you. Matter of fact, I sin more than I want to. God, when he saved me, he saved my wanter. So he fixed that problem. He said, I just don't want to do the things I used to do. Why? It's the same reason. I knew my daddy loved me. And I hated to disappoint him. I hated to disappoint my mother. I hated to do that because I knew that at any time I could call them and say, listen, I've got a problem. And they would be there. Never will forget, even after we was married, Ron and I went off on vacation. My old truck broke down way up in North Arkansas. Daddy was getting on up in the years. I called him and said, Daddy, I'm broke down, and I really can't afford a wrecker. He said, just sit there. I'll be there. 4 or 5 hours, here he come. He pulled me all the way back to Gun Barrel. Man, I could count on Daddy. Why? Because he loved me. And folks, I can count on God because he gave so much love to me that he was willing to die on the cross that he might save me and make me like him, and I could have eternal life right then and forever. Now, if you get saved and you have one of these religions that says, I can sin all I want to, you better check out your salvation, because that's not what the Bible tells us. You see, it's wonderful to know that you're saved. It's wonderful to know you're secure in the family. And if you don't have that security this morning, if you got sin in your life and you continue just to live that way, something's wrong with that salvation experience. You see, when you give your life to Jesus, you don't want to sin anymore. You don't want to go to the places you used to go. You don't want to do the things you used to do. But why? You're in the family. You're in the family of God, and he's working on you. He's making you more like him. And one thing that he doesn't like and he hates is sin, because he knows it destroys your life. The reason he says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, is because he knows that he's the one true God. Reason he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, is to, not for him so much, but for you. You see, he wants you to enjoy life. He said, listen, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if that's not your life this morning, would you come to him and give your heart to him, really give your heart to him, and know beyond a doubt you have eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the doctrine of security of the believer. And I pray today, Lord, that we don't get frustrated with our life, but we'll just relax and trust your word. Even though we might not understand it, we need to put our faith and trust in you like a little child. And Lord, realizing you love us, that you gave your life for us. And Lord, if there's someone here that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, today might be that day of salvation, that they would come today. Lord, there's those here that are visiting with us, Lord, if they don't have a church home, and this is the place you've led them, Lord, and they want to join in, I pray that they'll come. And I'll be glad to share with them how they can join in with this fellowship. God, we do love you. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.